Welcome to Catalyst Church Online and to Wisdom's Walk. Welcome to our Catalyst Church Online campus. If you're joining us for the first time, I would like to welcome you and ask you to take a moment, reach out to our connection team, and let them know you're here. You can follow the instructions on your screen there, and they'll get back to you and help you become part of the Catalyst Church family. Also, if you're joining us on YouTube, please take a moment, click the subscribe button so you can easily join us each week. We upload new studies here on Wisdom's Walk every Sunday morning. I'd also like to thank you for your generous and your faithful giving to the ministries of Catalyst Church. When you desire to follow God's stewardship principles of giving, you can do so using our online giving platform. It's totally secure. But let's take a moment, shall we, and ask the Lord's blessing over the tithes and offerings this week. Father, I thank you so for your faithfulness to us, your generosity in our lives. So Lord, as we take a moment and we honor you with the tithes and the offerings, we simply ask that you would receive from us with the attitude of gratitude that we have. Receive it from us, Lord, and then leverage it into stories of transformation, lives that are transformed by your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people, and I ask your hand of blessing to be upon their lives, upon their incomes, upon their businesses and jobs and careers. Lord, be upon their household. I thank you, Lord, for them. I thank you for your call. In Jesus' name we give and we honor you. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe you've heard the old joke. My mother told me to never take public transportation because there's always at least one weirdo on it. But every time I get on, I can't find him. We all have an idea in our minds of some type of person or group of people, or maybe just situations it's wise, just wisest to avoid. It's some part of our broken human nature that we develop these us versus them divisions. Most often, it's not based on any rational or legitimate reasons, purely emotional or anecdotal. There's always some wrong side of the tracks category we compare ourselves to. And if there aren't, we'll create one in our imaginations. Well, if you were a first century Jew living in Israel around the time of Jesus and his first followers, no matter which side of the tracks you grew up on, there was one group everyone hated. Well, if you're familiar with the history, the politics of that time, you might think, well, of course, everyone hated the Roman occupiers who had them under their thumbs. Now, I'm sure no one particularly loved the Romans, but they weren't the most hated group around. Well, maybe using culture as the filter, you think, oh, must be the Samaritans. The pure-blooded Jews looked down on the Samaritans as half-breeds. True, but the Samaritans weren't it either. No, there was one category of people present in every city, every village, every region, every burg, and every wide spot in the road wherever a town could be found. And believe it or not, Jesus chose one of these type of people for his team. I'm talking about Levi, also known as Matthew. And, cover your children's ears. Levi was the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth. He was a tax collector. Wow, I feel like I need to wash my own mouth out with soap just for saying those words. But let's take a look at this guy, Levi. In order to get a grip on his calling to follow Jesus, we have to take a look at what he was doing before Jesus came along. All three of the Synoptic Gospels record the moment when Jesus met Levi. So let's use Luke's account, which is found in Luke chapter 5. Turn with me there. We're going to begin at verse 27. Later, they're in the Capernaum region. Jesus is teaching and ministering in that region. Later, verse 27, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Okay, before we go any further with Levi, and there isn't actually a lot further to go, this moment of his calling to follow Jesus, and then he throws a banquet at his house right after, those are the only places in Scripture Levi is even mentioned, outside of the usual list of disciples passages. But we need to address the elephant in the room. This issue of him being a tax collector. When we look at Levi through the lenses of our own culture, our own experiences, we might think, fine, so he works for the IRS. Nobody loves taxes, but someone has to collect them, right? No. He's not a mid-level bureaucrat or a cubicle dweller in a nondescript government building pushing tax returns from pile to pile. There were two types of tax collectors. One group was called the Gabei. They were things for things like property taxes, income taxes, poll taxes, things that were fairly easy to calculate and attach taxes to. And generally, the Gabei were upstanding citizens in the community. And for the most part, graft and corruption weren't part of their purview, so the people basically accepted their role in society. Unfortunately, this isn't the type of tax collector Levi operated as. Levi was a member of the other group, the Mokes. The Mokes levied taxes and fees on things like imports, exports, domestic trade, moving goods from one place to another. Oh, and anything else they could think of to attach a fee upon. Mokes were hated by the populace because they were corrupt extortionists, and worse, they were usually Jews themselves. These tax collectors would purchase highly lucrative opportunities from the Roman authorities for the right to collect these taxes, and of course, retain a portion for themselves. Well, they had the backing and the support of the Roman authorities, and therefore they had the protection from the Roman soldiers, because the Mokes could bring in huge amounts of revenue for local governors, catch this, off the books from the Central Roman Empire. See, the local governors tolerated the Mokes doing essentially whatever they wanted, as long as it didn't lead to unrest, because they knew the revenue stream would keep flowing. So these tax collectors were incredibly territorial, as you can imagine, with the best franchises going for huge sums of money, because they knew it would lead to their own wealth. If you want an equivalent in our own culture, in order to get an idea of just how hated this group of tax collectors was, we actually can't think tax collectors in our culture. The only modern equivalent for us would be the mafia, or another large organized crime syndicate. Just like the mafia, the Mokes had tiers of influence and power. There were great Mokes. These were the behind-the-scenes crime bosses over big territories or the larger cities. Think Don Corleone from The Godfather. Actually, you want a funny misunderstanding of scripture? Later on in Luke 19, Jesus will encounter another tax collector. In fact, let's turn there. Luke chapter 19. Oh, we're gonna be in verse. It's right at the beginning of the chapter. Jesus entered Jericho. Jericho's a huge, influential city. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. It says here he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Today, you and I, we can safely call Zacchaeus a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. But no one around there would have dared. Zacchaeus was a great Mokes, more like Don Zacchaeus, and you don't come to his tree and disrespect him. He was a godfather. Well, back to Levi. He wasn't a great Mokes, but a little Mokes. The street level, lower tier tax collectors. He was the local thug who extorted people on a daily basis, enriching himself off of their powerlessness. Cool guy. And Jesus walks up to him and says, "Follow me." Now imagine being one of the earlier disciples watching this unfold. At this moment, you are seriously reconsidering your own followership. What did I get myself into if this is the type of person Jesus wants to join us? Or better yet, wait, if Jesus thinks this low-life scum of a tax collector, mafiosi, belongs with us, what does he think of me? I simply cannot express too strongly how much these tax collectors were hated by everyone. Believe it or not, the Talmudic teachings of the rabbis actually stated that it was acceptable to lie and cheat any tax collectors because that's the only language they understood. Seriously, the rabbis basically taught people, hey, they made the corrupt playground and the perverted rules. Go ahead and play by their own rules. So shocking as it is for Jesus to walk up to Levi and tell him to, you know, get up and follow him, it's infinitely more shocking that Levi actually does it. I can only assume Jesus was responding to some Holy Spirit impulse or command, because there is nothing in the natural which would lead to choosing Levi. But there are myriad reasons in the natural why Levi would have told Jesus to go pound sand. Sticking with the mafia theme, Levi getting up and leaving everything behind is like trying to leave the mafia family. That's a dangerous one-way decision. There was absolutely no turning back from that. Which tells us something about Levi, doesn't it? We already know about his moral and ethical character, or complete lack of, but this tells us he is at least resolute. This was no, you know, I'll just check it out type of decision. Levi is turning his back on a highly lucrative business that would have been very expensive for him to buy into in the first place. Later on, Jesus would teach about the true cost of discipleship. In fact, let's turn there. That's in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." First, let me say goodbye to my family. That doesn't say that that was necessarily Levi or Matthew, but you can almost hear echoes or wonder. You know, while Jesus was teaching that, Levi had to be standing there nodding his head saying, "Ask me how I know." You know, the story of Levi gets even more unbelievable. Immediately following his calling, when Levi throws a banquet at his house to which Jesus and the other disciples attend. Go back there to Luke chapter 5, and we see there in verse 29, "Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with such scum?' Jesus answered them, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent.'" Now, these unsavory guests aren't just Levi's invitees. They are the only people who would ever come to his house. They are his only social circle, the only types of people that he can interact with and socialize with. Levi was a total social pariah. So it's no surprise his tax collectors and other sinners gathered together. So, okay, for you Star Wars nerds, Levi's house would have been the equivalent to the Mos Eisley Cantina in Star Wars. This is Jesus hanging out with the wretched hive of scum and villainy, but without the kindly old Obi-Wan Kenobi. In fact, if you're you real Star Wars geek out, here's an opportunity. The story of Zacchaeus we looked at is equivalent to Jesus saying he wants to have dinner at Jabba the Hutt's palace. Okay, interesting side note. Only three tax collectors are directly mentioned in the New Testament. Levi, Zacchaeus, and the tax collector in Jesus' parable in Luke 19. It's actually found in verse 9 through 14. And all three tax collectors received God's grace. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Let's get back to the banquet, though. In keeping with their true nature, the religious elitists are scandalized, and they begin grumbling and complaining about Jesus and his disciples having the freedom to hang out with those types of people. You know, religiosity is most often motivated by either jealousy or self-righteousness, not by moral exactitude. They aren't saying, you know, "We're very concerned with Jesus' reputation." They're not saying, "Oh no, Jesus is going to damage his witness. They don't give a rip. Religionists never do. These elitists are just virtue signaling. They don't care who Jesus hangs out with. And all of this leads to one of Jesus' most powerful and unmistakable self-declarations. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Just like that, Jesus cements himself as a friend of sinners, while at the same time clearly communicating his unacceptance of their lifestyles, distinct from accepting them as persons. It's interesting, you know, from a literary standpoint, I guess, the name Levi in Hebrew means united or joined in harmony. His name is rooted in that of the tribe of Levites, you know, those who were the priests and servants, serving as mediators between God and his people. The call of Levi exposes the truth that Jesus isn't squeamish about people. He can handle hanging out with the worst of the worst as far as lifestyle and choices go. Jesus goes so far as to seek out and invite a mafia stooge to be one of his disciples, one of his first followers. Levi left behind his former life in dramatic fashion, and he bridged the relational gap between his former and his new community. Levi, whose resolute nature and whose name means joining in harmony, is a challenging example for us as Christ followers. Every spiritual community of Christ followers wrestles with this issue to some extent. Just how inviting and how wide open are the doors of our welcome? Well, what's our takeaway from Levi's calling and his banquet? Simply this. The gospel is not a self-help strategy, and the church is not a social club for the self-righteous. It's a hospital for the sick and the needy. And here's the secret. Everyone is sick and needy in this way. No matter what side of the tracks we're born on or raised on, or which side of those proverbial tracks we choose to live on, we are all sinners in need of God's grace. Some are just more honest about it. I'd like to invite you to take a moment right now. If you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, to accept you, then I would like to invite you to accept him. It is as simple as inviting him to come and be a part of your life, to invite him into your heart. Begin his work of renewal. The Holy Spirit is so powerful at renewing our hearts, our minds, our very soul. I'd like to invite you to do that right now. Would you pray with me if that's you today? If you're feeling that today is the day you need to make a decision. The prayer isn't magical. It's not the words. It's not some formula. It's the intent behind them, the authenticity. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the gift of salvation in Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you accept me as I am. Flaws, failures, weaknesses, and all. And I'm thankful you do not hold those against me, but instead you offer forgiveness. So I accept that forgiveness. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new, and lead me on your path. I thank you for it in your name. Amen. Well, amen. I tell you, you pray that prayer with sincerity. Scripture is clear. You are a child of God. I'd like to welcome you to the family. We have some resources we'd like to send you. So if you made a decision for Jesus today, please let us know. You should see some instructions there on your screen. Let us know about your decision. On behalf of our Catalyst Church family, I want to thank you for taking the time to study together today. And would you join us next week as we learn about James, the supporter? Have a fantastic week and go in God's grace.